delight to be here. Before I begin, I've had a number of serious illnesses and have been damaged in several ways by them. One, perhaps it's just the age, is my emotions. So don't blame me if I get out of control sometimes. It's more than 50 years since I first entered the seminary in early September 1967. Knox Hindman and I had completed 2 years in the Reformed College in Belfast, and we were coming across the Atlantic to complete our studies here in Pittsburgh. We discovered the cheapest way of traveling, and we could, by spending about $90, travel on a small boat from Glasgow, bringing a cargo of whiskey from Scotland to North America. We were two of the four passengers, and the journey took between 7 and 8 days. We landed at Montreal and then took buses down to Pittsburgh. We got out of the bus with our cases, tired and wanting to find the seminary. And we were so thrilled to see up on the wall the sign, Penn Avenue. The bus has left us at the place where we're going to be. So we started walking. After about 30 minutes, we noticed that the signs of houses were in the low 100s, and we thought that 7,000 was quite a bit further. We managed to find a bus which took us to our destiny. It must have been a Friday or a Saturday evening, and the fellows from the seminary and some girls who were working locally were meeting together downstairs. They very warmly welcomed us, and we soon became friends with many of them. We settled in the old system of rooms. Knox and I were upstairs. We were third-year students, and you could go to the right upstairs, and we were in that room on the right. Jim Wright and Paul Martin, second year, were straight over on the left room. Then there was a bathroom, and behind that, another room, with two first-year men, Wayne Duffield and Lee Bittner. Up near the roof, there were three men for Cyprus, Bill Sterrett, Dan Copeland, and Dick Ayres. Two other final year men had been recently married, and they were living out, Dean Smith and Bruce Hempel. Two girls hoping to go to Cyprus also were living out, Kathy Elliott and Mary Matheson. 13 RPs in all, plus quite a few from other churches. Several of these became closer to us than others. Paul and Jim, Bill and Dan. But we all got on very well. We had a lovely mixture in the seminary of study and relaxing. Stories about relaxing are many, could be extraordinarily interesting and humorous. I shouldn't tell too many of them. I think of the night that Knox and I were buying 6 banana splits. Jim had a beautiful new sports car. He invited Knox to drive the car and for me to get the ice cream. On the way back, I was holding six banana splits, and the car got slowed down in the traffic, and they began to spill all over the new seats onto the beautiful new floor. And when we got there, they were destroyed, and Jim's car was quite a mess. We remember going to watch basketball at Geneva. Among the team, there was a young, good RP player who was brought onto the court from time to time, Jerry O'Neill. And a girl, Anne, was supporting the team in a way which, to British boys, was quite unusual, but quite good. Many other stories, but this is not the place nor the time. There were several major things, however, for me during these 8 or 9 months. One of the staff changed my life. All of them were enjoyable. Bruce Wilson was professor of church history, but at that time he was also president, and he was very, very busy about the future status of the college. They're trying to move it up. Dr. Fullerton was not a modern theologian. He was serious, he was solid, very, very helpful in many ways. I'll be speaking later of how I had to make a sudden journey home. And before I left the seminary that day, Dr. Fullerton called me into his study. He says, "Ted, I've been selling the books in the seminary for the last 30 years. Sometimes I make bits and pieces of profit, and I keep them all in a box in my desk. $70. And Ted, I want to give it to you now to help to pay for the plane ticket." Dr. Fullerton, a lovely man. I remember Knox and myself and Bruce getting very, very high marks in one particular test. And the reason was that the three of us were well trained in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And to satisfy him, answer in the words of the catechism and expand them. That was good marks. Ken Smith, a young minister, had come in to teach evangelism. And our relationship was to develop later. But I'm speaking now of Dr. Clark Copeland. And I was touched indeed to hear Tony mentioning Dr. Copeland. Dr. Copeland taught me something which was completely new. He took us through the early chapters of Genesis in a fresh way, opening up a system which harmonized with systematic theology, while in itself was new and exciting, biblical theology. A very, very valuable part of my study and my preaching for most of the rest of my life. Dr. Copeland came to do more for me than in the classroom. Knox, after 1 week, had to go home because his father was dying. It left me quite lonely, especially on Sabbath days. I loved listening to Jim Carson in North Hills when I was able to go. But sometimes the other students were all away, and I was left in the seminary on my own. I was friendly, however, with two of Dr. Copeland's children, and I found myself at his home almost every Lord's Day when I wasn't preaching. Knox's father died in our first term. My father died in our second term. And when I came back, after having gone home for his funeral, I expected the students, my friends, to be waiting for me in the airport. It was Dr. Copeland. I was surprised. He drove me back in his car to the seminary. And as we sat in the car for a moment, he said, "Ted, I found out that I'm exactly the same age as your father was. And if ever you want any father's help, I'm glad to do for you whatever I can." And friends, that led to a lifetime of connection which Lorna and I had with Dr. Copeland and his wife. A wonderful man. A great, great blessing to me. A father. That's part of why I served in Cyprus. He talked to me of Cyprus. We often visited him. I often visited him when I was in America. He and his wife came for a year and served in Northern Ireland in the congregation where I had served, teaching in our theological college. I loved him. He was another father to me. And my connection with his family was more than that. I knew all four of his children, but one of them became special. I'm thinking of Kathy, together with her cousin, Beth Hempel. Apart from my wife and the women of my family, these two girls were as close to me in my life as any other woman friends I've ever had. We shared much time, many thoughts and experiences together in a real way, in a sense needing each other and being blessings to each other. This we still remember. I haven't forgotten them coming to Northern Ireland the following summer of 68 and of becoming very close friends with Lorna, the girl whom I was looking forward to marry. I thank God for them. I'm glad that Beth is here with us today. I left seminary after graduating in May 68. But as well as things learned and a system of study taught, the seminary continued in a real sense to produce much fruit in my life through connection with our American church, which has changed my life. Three or four valuable friendships with the American church. Ken and Floyd Smith. They came in 1971 with their family to Northern Ireland. Ken and Floyd had been praying when they came to Ulster that God would give them one young couple whom God would use to bless. And Lorna and I were the couple. We met them every week. Time after time we met in other ways. What a profitable time. How it changed our lives. The next year in 1972, we went out to Cyprus, working for the people of God, until, as you've heard, there was the sudden war which drove us out. But still, with Ken and Floyd, a dear friendship, of which I could say so many things. That friendship, which was increasing and deepening every year. Dear Ken, we love you. In Cyprus, there were two other couples, Bill and Gretchen Edgar, and Dawn and Bonnie Piper. and with Dawn in particular. I had an unusual and special friendship. He's been one of my very closest friends then and since. I thank the Lord for our love for each other. We don't meet often enough, but we're rejoicing when we do. And we're caring always for each other, especially in prayer for the other one and for his family. 20 years after my graduation, and 30 years ago this summer, 1988, I spent several months here in summer teaching beginners Greek in the seminary to some men who were coming into the full course in the autumn. Two of these students were especially close to me, both becoming lifelong friends, Wade Mann and Barry York. We loved them as couples also. Wade and Barb, with little Avery, had already spent some months in our congregation in Ulster, where we had countless hours of rich friendship. But particularly Barry and Miriam, new to us then, but brought closely together in those summer months. And since, at many times and in many ways, sharing, helping, and loving each other. Every day that God has given to me with Barry, what a joy. May the Lord bless him and his wife, every one of their family, and the seminary in coming years. One more brief comment. In a sense, the longest and the newest friend, Dick Woods. We knew him in 1967. We got out of touch in a way. But in recent years, Dick and I have shared a serious illness. We've prayed together. We meet each other at least once a year. And I thank the Lord for an ever closer friendship with Dick. Today, apart from this, can I say just a little about the privilege in the Lord's kindness? I've been enriched more than I can begin to say, by four people who are here with me, closest of all to my heart. Lorna, my dearest, I was converted at the age of 20 through the preaching of Alec Wright. I tried to react, to show kindness in helping him by taking from his hands one of his daughters. One of whom there was no sign that she was going to be married, even though she was 16 years of age. We've loved each other for almost 54 years. And we're now again alone at home. So usually she travels with me. And that's a blessing. No words from me could express much of what she has meant to me and my life. Lorna is the human channel of the Lord's greatest blessings to me. And then we have Catherine and Ruth and John, themselves with their families, bringing such joy to their parents. A very useful gift in that they're here today. And I was thinking of another useful gift. Every Sabbath day, we're all together, belonging to one congregation of God's people and worshiping Him together. I think that they all would want me to thank you and say that together we appreciate your love here. There's one final point. I didn't plan it, but I want to say it. I'm feeling here that I'm speaking not just for myself, but for my best friend, Knox Heinemann, who's already been mentioned. We arrived in New Jersey late in the evening, and 2 mornings ago, we had arrived and got out of bed. And at that point, I heard from home that Knox had been taken into glory 2 hours earlier. Knox and I loved each other for almost 53 years. My heart is sore, and much more sore for Edith and his 3 children, Connor, Charlotte, and Hannah. I'm better known than Knox in the world, but I know that Knox was far above me in Christ. Nothing but a blessing to me in my life. And at first I wanted to go home for his funeral, but I knew within me that Knox would have wanted me to stay and to be here this evening. So can I say that it's for the honour of 2 covenanters from Ireland that this is given, enriched by their months in this city. And I'm grieving here, but I know there's more than me grieving with my family. Bill and Beth and Bruce and Ken and others. We're together forever in glory. Philippians 1:3 following. May I give this to you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Amen.